How many of you have been tempted before? Mine, I think both hands. Yes, I think it's a topic. I think it's not just only a topic. I think it's something I think all of us face, right? I think all of us are tempted in one way or another, right? And many a times we think, you know, temptation comes in certain events in our life. And because when you look at the chapters, when you read Matthew chapter 4, and also when you look at Luke, I think we realize, you know, Jesus was tempted. Many times when we ask people, we say, Jesus was tempted thrice. Three incidents, all right? Three events took place within the 40 days, and Jesus was tempted. And that's how we see. But actually, when you look at the passages very carefully, each and every one of us are tempted. I believe every moment we are tempted, right? It's every day we are tempted. Every time we are about to make a decision, we are tempted to fall according to the desires of our flesh, right? There is always some kind of temptation, even in our thoughts. Should I be thinking of this? It is also a temptation, right? And you know, sometimes we lean on to God's way of doing things, or sometimes we tend to lean on to the worldly things or even the lust of the flesh. And so all of us are tempted in one way or another. Even today, as you're sitting, you are tempted to switch off, right? And to listen to something else, right? That might be floating in your mind. And so there is always some kind of temptation that's taking place in our lives. You know, whenever I look at scripture very carefully, you know, when I look at scriptures, you know, temptation can either destroy our soul or it can become an opportunity for us to grow. Many times we think, you know, temptation comes into our life because it is going to destroy me. And I'm not ready to face that. But let me tell you, you know, there are passages in the scriptures we tend to see that it provides opportunity for us to grow, for us to be steadfast in the Lord, for us to be much more stronger in our relationship with God, in our growth, in our spiritual life. And so I think it's important for us to know how we look at temptation. When we allow, it destroys us. When we overcome, it helps us to grow. You know, when I was just looking at this particular passage, you know, I realized, you know, sometimes what happens, you know, our view of temptation, Christian's view of temptation, can be very too shallow. Right? We think, you know, Satan comes in front of us and say, you know, you do this. You know, Satan will come and say, you do this, or and these are the temptations. But when I look at life and when I look at scriptures very carefully, you know, sometimes the way we look at temptation is too shallow. You know, we're in a denial. We think, no, this is something that took place in my life. You know, it came by and I have to decide this way. Let me tell you, you know, temptation is much more. It's not too shallow. It's much more. You know, sometimes we are in denial. We are unaware of, right? Even in our thoughts, we say, you know, it just came to me and I thought like that. But it can be something that we are unaware of too. And secondly, it can also be too narrow, right? Sometimes, you know, people become, when they go through temptation, they become discouraged, right? They are broken. They feel there is no way out, right? But not realizing, you know, God gives us the power. You know, God gives us the power to overcome all these temptations. And so I think the scripture is very careful about all these things. And I want to jump into this particular passage. When you look at the passage, sometimes you might wonder, what are we going to look at it? You know, how can I overcome or have victory over temptation in this world? And when I look, the more I look at Mark chapter 1, the more I see, you know, because of Christ, I can overcome temptation. Because of what Jesus have done, I can overcome temptation. When you turn with me to the passage that's, you know, that was just read to us today, and I just want to look at certain words, and from the words, try to see what is God trying to tell us. I want to compare with certain passages of the scripture to see how you and I can actually overcome temptations in our life. Now, the first thing, if you turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 12, it says, at once the Spirit sent him, right? Sent him into the wilderness. You know, I was asking myself, you know, when I look at the scriptures very carefully, you know, it says the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. I was asking myself, why? Why the Spirit of God should lead Jesus into temptation? Many a times when we look at scriptures, you know, Satan comes to us, it disguises itself in different forms and it makes us fall. But here, the scripture is very much more clearer. It says, the Spirit led Jesus, you know, to be tempted. So when I look at the themes of the scriptures very carefully, the overall theme of the scriptures, I think it talks to me that, you know, it was the redemptive plan of God. You know, it was not something that took place accidentally, right? That Jesus was caught by surprise. Jesus was just standing and the Spirit of God just led him, that he was not unaware of. The word becomes very clear to me that it is the redemptive plan of God, that God wants to save us. And to save us, Jesus has to go through this period of temptation. And this was the reason why Jesus came into this world. Because of Christ, I can overcome temptation. Because of Christ, you can overcome temptation, right? Without Christ, we cannot win the enemy, my friend, because each and every moment we are tempted. I don't have the power, I don't have the means, I don't have the energy to face the attacks of the evil one. And so the passage is very clear, you know, when you look at Matthew and you look at Luke, you know, except John. John doesn't speak about it. It says, the Spirit led him. So it was the redemptive plan of God today, my friend. And it's because of what Jesus have done at the cross, you and I, you know, can overcome temptation. When you read Mark chapter 3, verse 27, it talks about, you know, Jesus, before Jesus entered into ministry, you know, he needs to win the enemy, right? You need to win the enemy. I think that's how you look at a particular passage. So Jesus was led, right? I think that was God's design. And so today, what's happening? You know, when I was looking at particular passages, you know, I was trying to look at it, and I realized the difference between the first Adam. I think first Adam is Genesis chapter 3. You know, if you read first in Genesis chapter 3, a couple of things that we see. What was happening, you know, Satan visited Eve and deceived her, right? And what was happening? Adam and Eve, they believed the lies of Satan. And what was happening? They disobeyed God. You know, when I read the particular passage, it says, you know, Satan came, spoke to Eve. She was deceived. She believed in lies. And the more I look at this particular passage, it talks about us. It talks about me. Why I ask myself, why did Eve give in, or why did Adam give in to the temptation? Because that's human nature. What is happening? You know, they disobeyed God's rule and boundaries. And so many a times, you know, we Christians also disobey God's rules and boundaries. We know the rule of God very well. We know what are the boundaries that God has placed in our lives, right? It's not just eating the fruit that's in the middle of the garden. It talks about, you know, that man wants to disobey God, where man wants to have autonomy and self-sufficiency. You know, when Eve or Adam, went into this particular sin of disobedience, it is not just eating the fruit. It talked much more larger or wider about man, that we want autonomy. They wanted autonomy. They wanted to do things on their own. They want to order their lives according to their desires. Right, you look at the passage very carefully. I think Genesis chapter 3, go back home, you know, read about it very carefully. You know, it says it was good, it was pleasing, it was desirable for gaining wisdom. That's what the passage says, right? And so when Adam and Eve, you know, gave into this, it tells me they wanted to live life independent of God. They knew very well, and this is what God wanted them. And so their decision to do otherwise says that, Lord, I want to live a life independent of you. I don't need you. I know your rules, but this is me. It's my rule, my way. my world, and this is how I will do. It's not just eating the fruit. I think it talks about human life, human nature. You know, we want to disobey God. We want to live a life just contrary to the Word of God. We want self-sufficiency. We want autonomy, right? We want to live a life independent of God. And what did Jesus do? And I think because of all this, you know, if you read Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it talks about sin. At the same time, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, talks of 15:21, it talks about, you know, that, you know, we sin leads us to death, my friend. And so because of first Adam, what is happening? It leads us. Sin came because of the first man, first Adam. It leads us to sin. It leads us to death. And that is the outcome of the first Adam. And then I also realized, you know, why the Spirit led Jesus. Because Jesus was led to face the devil. And when he faced the devil, what was happening? If you read Matthew, if you read Luke, you know, he trusted on God's word. Every time he met the devil, he trusted on God's word. He used God's word. He obeyed God's rule. It's God's way. It's not my way. I live a life according to God's word. And that's the way Jesus was answering Satan. I think it also showed me, you know, Jesus' life was dependent on God and his life in God. I depend on God. Whereas the first Adam said, no, I want to gain knowledge. I want to gain wisdom. I want to live a life outside of God, independent of God. But whereas the second Adam teaches us, you know, he is teaching us that we need to be obeying a God. I think that's what the passage is all about, my friend. You know, because we are from first Adam, we cannot overcome sin. We cannot overcome temptation. We are bound to face death. But because of the second Adam, today you and I, right, we can obey God's word. We can live a life dependent on God. We can have a life in Christ, a life in Christ. We can have victory because of the second Adam. You know why? He was led by the Spirit, and that is the redemptive plan of God. Whereas Eve was visited, or even Adam was visited by the evil one, my friend. You know, and so this passage is very comforting to me. So Christ came. Why? Because he wants to save us. Right? He wants to redeem us. Without Christ, today I cannot have victory over the temptation. I cannot have victory over the evil one because I belong to the first Adam. In my decisions, I'm telling God, Lord, I want autonomy. In the way I do things, I'm telling God, I want to live a life independent of you. I want to have a life outside of you. But what Jesus have done on the cross, my friend, and what Jesus have done, and he tells me that I can still live a life trusting on God's word. I can lean onto God's word, and I can lean to God's strength at all times. Secondly, let me look at this particular word. It says, you know, Jesus was led into the wilderness. I asked myself many times, why wilderness? The Spirit of God could have led him, you know, to a lonely room where Jesus could have been alone in the room, just fasting and being tempted by the evil one. But why? Why wilderness? Why wilderness? Or you could have gone to some kind of mountaintop and be tempted. But why wilderness? You know, the more I see the passage, and when I look at particular passages in the scriptures, it tells me about the Jewish people. I think if you realize, every Jew will always remember their wilderness experience. The time they left Egypt, right? They were in bondage for so many years, and God brought them out of Egypt. And what was happening? They were in the wilderness, my friend. I think they were going through some real tough time. So every Jew will always remember the Passover, right? They will remember their journey, how God was in the clouds just leading them in the pillar of fire. You know, the presence of God was always felt. So every Jew will remember the wilderness experience by their forefathers. It was always in their mind. And whenever they remember, I think they remember the many things that they have taken place. They remember God's presence. They remember how God's glory was revealed. At the same time, they also remember the disobedience, the unfaithfulness. They were not leaning to God many a times. They were always grumbling, making a lot of noises to Moses by saying, "You could have actually left us in Egypt. We were enjoying our life there. Though there was a lot of struggles, we were enjoying." There was always grumbling about their journey. The Spirit of God led Jesus to the wilderness. What was happening? I was just looking at this particular text. You know, Acts 32. If you turn with me to Acts 32, I think one of the incidents that took place, I think all of us know in Acts chapter 32, it talks about the golden calf. You know, when it says, when people saw that Moses was no longer so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us." What was happening? You know, when Moses was there, probably Moses did not have his watch, and so it was delayed. Or maybe he was spending too much of time with God. What was happening? People were not able to wait. You know, sometimes in our lives too, right? What happens, I think, when we realize, you know, God has not been answering us. Or maybe God's answer is too delayed to us. What happens? You know, we want to find our own gods, our own ways, or even turn to other things in our life. And this was what was happening. Instead of waiting for Moses, instead of just saying, you know, we will just wait for this man of God who have actually been faithful, been leading us, they were turning to Aaron and saying, "Make us gods, make us gods." And so when I look at this particular passage, it talks to me, you know, people wanted God replacement. When Moses was delayed, they said, "Make us gods. We want something else to be our gods, to lead us." Right? You know, friends, many a times we are like that. You know, many times when we realize, you know, God have not been answering. You know, I've been praying for this for so many years, and I don't see some kind of answer. What happens? We go to other things. We seek other guidance. We are led to decide according to the patterns of the desires of this world. And so these people were doing the same thing. God replacement. They replaced God with other gods. Right? And they wanted other gods to lead them, to just be with them. And what was happening, right, when Moses came down? I think you know the story very well. You know, Moses was very, very upset and all that. And he came and spoke to Aaron. You know, unfortunately, this man was a high priest at the time. And in verse 24, it says, he said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" You know, what did Aaron reply? You know, I was looking at this particular passage. In verse 24, he says, you know, "So I told them, whoever has any gold, jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire and came out this calf." I just threw it. Can you imagine? He was just giving an excuse for his rebellion. If you look at the early passage, in the early verses, it says, he took the gold, he made a calf for them. But now he's just giving excuse by saying, you know, I just threw it and here comes the calf. And people started worshiping. Have you realized, you know, sometimes, you know, when we realize, you know, God is not answering us, you know, we go to other means and then we say, "Lord, I do not know." And this is our excuse, right? The excuse for rebellion, you know, to seek some other ways. And we make gods for ourselves. I think, and so the passage tells me, you know, through the wilderness, Christ is sufficient for us. We don't need another God replacement, my friend. We don't need another God, you know, to replace us. Christ is all sufficient. Christ is enough for our lives. And that's why Jesus was going through wilderness experience, the wilderness temptation. Why? It tells me that Christ is enough for my life. I don't need another God.
I can still be obedient to God. I can still be patiently waiting for God because of what Jesus have done on the cross for me. And that's why Jesus was led through the wilderness, my friend. He tells us, I think God is sufficient for our lives. And with Him, we can surely face the temptation. And lastly, let me finish with this. I ask myself another question. 40 days being tempted by Satan, right? It says, if you realize, you know, Mark doesn't speak about what happened, you know, unlike Matthew. Matthew speaks about the three occasions Jesus was tempted by Satan, right? He was brought to the temple, he was brought to the mountaintop, and even Satan told Jesus, you know, turn the stones into bread. But Mark doesn't speak about it. Have you realized? Why? Why is he not speaking about this, right? He just says that Jesus was led into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, period. Is Mark telling us, you know, all those three incidences are just minor? Or is he denying? No, Mark is not denying. I think what Mark is trying to emphasize is just emphasizing the humanity of Christ. In other words, he's saying that what Jesus has faced, and he faced as a human. In other words, each and every day, the 40 days, in those days, 40 is a great number in the Jewish people. I think in their culture, it talks about something full, something, you know, 40 days and 40 nights. You know, you see the word 40. You know, it emphasizes on the humanity of Christ. You know, that Jesus went through that 40 days, each and every day he was tempted. Not only the three occasions where Satan tempted him, there were other occasions. Almost every day Jesus was tempted. I think that was the picture Mark wants to inform the crowd, that Jesus was not just tempted three times, but he was tempted each and every day, right? As you and I are tempted each and every day. And if you, and 40 is another way of saying it's a full range of life. In other words, that's how the Jews always saw, right? And if you read Hebrews 4:15, it says, Jesus was tempted in every way. So Mark is not focusing on the three occasions. Mark is saying, Jesus faced temptation like you and I face in every way, just as we are, but he did not sin. He overcame the temptation that surrounded him at each and every moment. I think when I read this particular passage, it comforts me a lot, because I don't think that Satan is going to bring me top of the, you know, mountain and say, you know, jump down, or even to the temple. It tells me, you know, that I'm facing temptation each and every day. But because of Christ, right, I can overcome the temptation, because Jesus went through each and every day facing the struggles of the evil one, the temptation of the evil one, victoriously, right? He won, and he won Satan totally. And so, my friend, I think the passage reminds us today, I think we can, and we surely can. And Jesus, you know, voluntarily was led by the Spirit to be tempted for us. It was not an accident. I think Jesus knows very well, you know, our temptation. And that is the redemptive plan of God. He wants to give us victory. And he wants to give us victory. And why into the wilderness? Because wilderness tells me a lot about ourselves. We want God replacement. When we realize that God is not there, or God is not answering our prayers, you know, many a times we want a God replacement. We search for other things. We want other things to be our gods or become our idols. Like Adam, right? Our decision many a time tells that we want to live a life independent of God. We don't want to have a life dependent on God. We want autonomy. But because of Christ, I am able to live a life trusting on God's word, depending on God's word. Many a times, the desires of the flesh is to bring us to autonomy. right? Living a life outside of Christ. But because of Christ, I am able to face every temptation possible. Look at the temptation of Christ. I think you realize, I think Jesus was not only tempted, but he also defeated Satan in the wilderness, right? Throughout his public ministry, if you realize, immediately after this particular passage, Mark speaks from verse 21 about how Jesus drives off the impure spirit, right? He talks us, it's not only a moment, but even throughout the ministry, there were evil powers of this world, and Jesus defeated them. And then Mark also speaks about the cross. There was victory that was seen at the cross for us. And I want you to just think of those reflections. I've just placed some reflections. Are you dealing with temptation today? How are you dealing with your temptation today? Do you replace God with other things? Now, deliberately, I put the word replace twice, right? Do you think that you are not tempted in any way? Do you act as if you have the power to overcome temptation? I was reading a story about this particular lady, and I'll finish with this. This lady was talking to this great preacher called Derek Prince. And so when they were talking, Derek Prince, this great evangelist and a writer too, asked the lady the secret of a victorious life. Because she was saying, you know, I'm living a life and God is giving me the power to live a life, victorious life. And so Derek Prince was asking her, how do you live a powerful, victorious life? And these were the words of this lady. And she said, every time Satan knocks at my door, every time Satan knocks at my door, I let Jesus answer. I let Jesus answer. I don't answer. I let Jesus answer. And because Jesus answers every knock at the door, I am able to overcome temptation. Dear friends, many a times we want to answer. Let me tell you, you and I cannot. But if we allow Christ to answer the knock at every temptation that comes into our lives, into our door, we will have victory. Because we have failed human being. We have the original sin in us. But because of Christ, because of our faith in Christ, because if we allow Jesus to take control of our life and say, Lord, I depend on you, I trust you, and I want you, Lord, to lead me. If Jesus answers the knock at the door, we have victory. Question. Every time something happens in our life, who is answering that situation? Is it me? Or do I depend on God? Or do I allow Jesus to answer that knock? Let's pray. If you realize that many times we are like the first Adam. We want autonomy. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to have a life independent of God, a life away from God. And we say, I can. But very interestingly, Paul says, I can do all things only through Christ. And because of the first Adam, sin came into this world. And the wages of sin is death. Because of the second Adam, was Jesus, we have victory. He came to die on the cross for us. wild wilderness, do you realize many a times when we don't hear from God, we want a God replacement? We want to seek other things according to our desires. The passage tells me, I think God is sufficient for my life. And He's the only one who can satisfy me, not any other things. Dear friends, what is satisfying you? Is it Christ? Is it things of this world? The things of this world will never satisfy us. It will always deceive us. It's only Christ. And Christ is sufficient in our lives. Jesus was tempted 40 days, every day, my friend, according to Mark. It was not just the three incidents. Every day. What are you facing every day? And Jesus have conquered it for you. Jesus have won the victory for us. And because of Christ, we can face anything and everything. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that comes in your name. Lord, help us, Lord, to depend on you. Help us, Lord, to lean on to you. Help us, Lord, to just claim in the name of Jesus and to call upon your name. We realize, O God, we are limited in many ways. It's only Christ who's able to help us. Help us, Lord, to allow you to knock at every knock that happens in our door. Because when you answer, Lord, it's always the right answer. In Jesus' name we pray.